Please, if you have a Bible, do keep it open to Matthew. We're focusing on that. I'll start with a prayer, though. So please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment now that we heard from your word, and we now have opportunity to just reflect on what you have said to us and how you want us to live in response. Please guide me to share faithfully and clearly from your word, and help us all to be able to take in these words seriously and think about what in our life needs to look different to please you, to obey your son Jesus out of love for you, and help us to want to live out our lives that honors Jesus in everything that we do and speaks for Jesus and what he's done. Father, you have done so much for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a question for you to start with. What or who defines you? Now, that's a hard but a necessary question. Now, here's how people might answer this question. What or who defines you? Well, I reckon people say my family or my job, my employer, my degree, my school grade, my popularity at school, or my spouse, my success, my achievements, my money, or God. Now, there are two main approaches to life. One, achieving more for ourselves or other people. And two, obeying Jesus to see more people live for him and deepen their love for him. And for the one who serves King Jesus, then who defines you is Jesus. Through repentance and belief in him, and you get to serve Jesus forever. So you lay down your life for your King, and obeying him is your priority. And that's through work, relationships, recreation, and anything. So the question that will help us as we reflect on what these words that Jesus said in Gospel according to Matthew, is Jesus worthy of your complete devotion? So come with me to think about that. Daniel, where he spoke on motivations for sharing the gospel last Sunday and the Sunday before. On the first Sunday in this series, he spoke on being motivated to share the good news about Jesus Christ, for Jesus to receive the glory he deserves. And in the second Sunday, Daniel focused on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ because of our love for the lost. So love for people who don't know Jesus and therefore don't know the salvation Jesus offers. But today I'm going to finish off this series on motivations for sharing the gospel by focusing on obedience to Jesus. By obeying Jesus, we give glory to God. And so we have these great words by Jesus that are now known as the Great Commission. His last words to us, as recorded by Matthew in the Gospel according to Matthew. And these words are meant to shape how we live and what drives us in our lives to live for Jesus, to actually just live. And the key truth today that I want us to remember deep down is that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. So remember Jesus today. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, if you've heard the Great Commission 1,000 times before, or this is your first time, then pay attention. And there's three clear commands from Jesus here, all backed up by Jesus having all authority in heaven and earth. So go and make disciples of all nations. So baptize. And so teach them to obey. So firstly, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, Jesus has risen from the dead. Verse 16, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, has killed himself. So only 11 disciples go to the mountain in Galilee as they were instructed, as they were instructed to by the women who heard the message from Jesus directly. Now, Jerusalem to Galilee would have been about 120 Ks. So a decent trek for the disciples who would have likely walked all that way. it's a different level of commitment to walk 120 Ks to driving 120 Ks. But the disciples obey Jesus and are at the mountain in Galilee and they see Jesus, the one who was dead but is now alive. And they worship Jesus, but some doubted. That seems like a raw honesty here, that they all seem to worship Jesus, but there is doubt. And it seems like some are struggling with the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. Maybe you've experienced that doubt. I've had those moments. But Jesus is actually alive. And they worship him and give him the glory he deserves as king. And then we hear the momentous words from Jesus. Verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Big words. We read news about Donald Trump and recognize the authority and power he has. Or you'd likely have heard of Adolf Hitler and the authority he wielded to cause a lot of pain and destruction. But none of what they have done, and actually of any powerful person, can compare to what Jesus said and has done and will do. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus is in charge. God the Father has given him the authority. Now you might look around you and think, is Jesus actually in charge? Jesus is. But currently he doesn't wield his authority to make everyone do what he says. Jesus' authority is one of come and join me. Stick with me through persecution and hardship. He's choosing people for his glory, and one day his authority will be revealed at the end of the age in power to judge the living and the dead. So does anything in your life, in my life, need to be different, knowing that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth? Yes, absolutely. And the Holy Spirit that God gives his people will convict you of any change that is needed, because the Holy Spirit shows you your sin and the truth from God. And you also need to want to change to be more like Jesus. So verse 19, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Obeying Jesus' command flows out of knowing Jesus, having all authority in heaven and on earth, and believing that to be true. And this command is not just for the pastors, or just for those who are good at talking, or just for those who are extroverts, or just for those who have strong faith. This command from Jesus is for everyone. And it's for everyone who sought forgiveness from God, for living against him and lives now for Jesus. Jesus is saying, go and make disciples of all nations. All believers in Jesus are to actively obey this command from him. So as you go about your work, you are first and foremost a follower of Jesus, an adopted child of God, our Heavenly Father. Therefore, as you work, you're thinking about, how do I make disciples of all nations? You do this because you're obeying Jesus, which is right and good, but also because you want Jesus to be exalted by more and more people. You also want those who are in the dark about salvation and eternal life with Jesus to be in the light. So if you're sitting around the lunch table at work, well, you actively care for people. You could ask, what do you like about your life? How are you finding work at the moment? How are you? How's your family? Get to know people. You seek to break the work and out-of-work boundary by inviting colleagues over for a meal. Have you considered inviting a colleague to read a gospel account with you to learn about Jesus? Or maybe not a colleague, but someone in your social club. Or if you're involved with your kids' church team or one of the serving teams of this church, well, you are making disciples of all nations. As you prepare to guide children to Jesus, or whatever you're doing to guide people to him, you are making disciples of all nations. Or if you're on the parish council, the church leadership here, then you are making disciples of all nations. Because this is what drives all our initiatives of this church. Every decision we make is to be framed around going to make disciples of all nations. Or if you're part of growth groups, then do you go to one with the desire to make disciples of all nations? Are you wanting to see people, including yourself, become more like Jesus? Do you want to see more growth groups in Kununurra so that more people are growing up in Christ and loving one another more deeply? We're expected to have the goal of growth. We want to see more people know Jesus so that one by one we can be equipping God's people to go make disciples of all nations. And parents, well, you can think deliberately about how you are making disciples of Jesus. Do you actively think about how am I helping my children know Jesus and understand him? If you think about your average day as you prioritize teaching, are you prioritizing teaching and learning from God's word? So helping your children understand prayer is essential to make disciples of all nations and getting them to pray joyfully. Do you model repentance and seeking Jesus yourself? And short, regular spots in God's word with prayer are transformative for a family. And I'm here to help you in this. We learn and grow together as the body of Christ. So as believers in Jesus, we are sent out. The disciples were sent to go and make disciples of all nations, and so are followers of Jesus Christ now. And if you're thinking this sounds hard, well, it is. But God is with us, as we're reminded in verse 20. We need one another to effectively make disciples of all nations. We need to care for each other and spur each other on to keep making Jesus the priority in all our decisions. Now, I've given numerous examples of making disciples of all nations, but Jesus gives us two specific tasks. First one, so baptize. Baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are to baptize those who are disciples of Christ. And baptism is referring to being dipped or immersed in water, an outward sign of an inner reality. Baptism is demonstrating that the person being baptized belongs to God and will live under the authority of God, not under anyone else's authority. Now, baptism doesn't guarantee your salvation, but it is a wonderful celebration of God's work to save. And the symbol of going down under the water, which refers to dying to self, not living your own way, then coming up out of the water, symbolizing new life in Christ, serving Jesus as your Lord, well, that's an excellent symbol. And at this church, Daniel and I are delighted to baptize anyone who turns away from living for self to live for Jesus, and who hasn't been baptized before in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have only one baptism in Christ. So each baptism points not to our work, but to God who sent Jesus to sacrifice himself for our salvation. And we're very willing to baptize children, including infants of believing parents, because children of believing parents belong to God. And celebrating the work of Christ Jesus for their children is a powerful reminder that God is the one who saves, not by any work of ours. So if you haven't been baptized, then why not? If you know Jesus is your Lord, then getting baptized is good to do, and Jesus commands this to be done. Daniel or I will be delighted to discuss further with anyone here who hasn't been baptized and attempt to answer any questions you have about baptism. You might be unsure if you are following Jesus. Well, you also can learn more about Jesus to consider following him. And Daniel and I will definitely be very happy to discuss further with you or to read an account of Jesus' life. I'm sure many others would be happy to talk further as well. But here's my story towards baptism. I grew up attending a church within the Salvation Army. Now, the norm is not to get baptized within the Salvation Army, and you can ask me over morning tea why that is. So I didn't think I should get baptized for most of my youth, or all my youth, and a bit of my young adulthood. And it's because I didn't think it was necessary. And people placed too much weight on it. That's what I thought at the time. Now, I moved churches and joined an Anglican church, though not deliberately looking for an Anglican church, but a church with a pastor who was carefully teaching from God's word. So I was about 20 years old. And the pastor at the church said, if you haven't been baptized, then come talk to me. Well, I didn't. But I was in a small group with him, and he raised again if anyone hasn't been baptized. So I sheepishly said, me. Well, he talked to me more about the significance of baptism, and I decided that baptism is a wonderful celebration of God's loving kindness to choose me. I belong to God. And baptism makes this clear as I'm baptized under the authority of God. So I was baptized and I came up out of the water, well, to continue living for God, secure in Christ Jesus, but wonderful to remember the new life in Christ. I remember many people being able to witness this moment and celebrate with me what Jesus has done to save me and save all those who repent and trust in Jesus. I was rejoicing last year when Logan and Laura decided to get baptized, and I'm rejoicing again because young people want to get baptized this year too, and also some adults. We need to see baptisms as much as people need to get baptized, because this is part of obeying Jesus and seeing growth in God's kingdom. Baptism is like a symbolic stamp over your life. You are God's own. You belong to God. And no one can take that away from you. And the Holy Spirit gives you security that you are in Christ, but baptism is the outward sign of the inner work of God. So if you're a believer in Jesus and you haven't been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then please come and talk to me or Daniel. And if you want to understand more of Jesus, then as I said, Daniel and I will be happy to support you to learn more of him. And if you're considering baptism for your children of any age, then you're also very welcome to come talk to Daniel or myself. So those who worship Jesus are to go and make disciples of all nations. And this looks like, one, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and two, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So teach them to obey. Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, where do you start? Jesus has commanded a lot to his disciples, but in the end, starting somewhere is better than starting nowhere. So start with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the news of Jesus' death to forgive our sin and resurrection to give us eternal life. People need to believe Jesus first, so that obedience is out of devotion than just to look good. You can share the gospel by reading a gospel account to learn of Jesus and what he commanded. Daniel and I encourage believers to consider reading a gospel account with someone who doesn't know Jesus. You might not read the whole book together, but look at some of the stories there. There's a lot. Daniel and I have used the word one-to-one, which is a simple resource to help you read through the gospel according to John with someone. Now, there are books like these, but also an app for this that you can use. And there's also a website that you can check it out and learn more about how to use it. But it's very simple and very easy to help people learn of Jesus and what he's done. And remember, as you think about this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And so this is of utmost importance to teach people what Jesus says and how they're to live in response. We want all believers here to want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with one another and anyone who will hear us. Jesus saves, and we need to obey him to help others be saved. Now, all of God's word reveals Jesus and points to our need of a Saviour. This means that as we learn from God's word, we want to be considering how we live now in the light of Christ and what he has done for us. The order presented by Matthew in what Jesus says doesn't mean we can only start teaching people Jesus' commands after they are baptized. Now, this might happen, I suppose, particularly if an infant is baptized, but the order isn't important. What is important is that a believer in Jesus gets baptized and we teach people to obey all that Jesus commands. Obedience is important here. And church is a crucial part of this. If church isn't the highest priority for you in your week to worship Jesus, then why not? Church is the moment when brothers and sisters in Christ gather to worship Jesus through singing praises to God, encouraging one another, showing hospitality, sharing the Lord's Supper, hearing from God's word together, and receiving teaching to obey Jesus. Church demonstrates to one another and even the world that we are united together in Christ. Even if I'm not feeling so excited by church one morning, or I'm struggling, or I feel ashamed, I know I need to be there. This isn't because I'm a pastor, but I need to be there as part of the body of Christ. Now, I recognize you all have holidays, or you get sick, or you might be suffering. But even on holidays, I'm keen to gather for church in another location. And even when I'm suffering, we need to be together because we are to suffer together. Or when you're delighted, to be there so we can be delighted together. We don't come to church so that we can, you know, fill a roster and feel better about ourselves. We don't come to tick a box. We come to be a family together, earnestly seeking Jesus' will for our lives. Now, I recognize we have more than one church in this town, and maybe this is for the best, but we need to have godly and fruitful discussions with one another to consider how we express our unity in Christ so that more might be saved. We come to church to receive teaching, to obey all that Jesus commands. We do come to serve, and serving out of devotion to Jesus. And we come to be strengthened in Christ, to live and speak for Jesus our Lord, desiring more people to repent and trust Jesus. Now, I can tell you that I have on many occasions been so stubborn or so distracted that I don't think much about what I've heard from God's word or how I'm meant to respond in obedience. And I know I can't fix this myself. I've tried. I need the Holy Spirit to stir within me a yearning desire for Jesus and to obey him wholeheartedly. This is why Jesus finished his final words with, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Holy Spirit is working in believers to change us to be more like Jesus. So do you want God to change you? Every occasion I come to God's word, I need to be ready for change. I need to be prepared to say sorry for sin in my life so that I live more like Jesus, the perfect human. I need to remember afresh that Jesus makes obeying him so much easier because when he was crushed for my sin and rebellion, for our sin and rebellion, and rose again in triumph over darkness, death, and sin, he paved the way for people to die to sin. For those who worship Jesus Christ, sin is dead to us. We're not living lives with sin and Satan as our master, but with Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. So when we do sin, we seek forgiveness and keep living under Jesus' rule. We need Jesus, brothers and sisters. We need him each and every day to obey him. So thank God with me that he has given all his brothers and sisters, all Jesus' brothers and sisters, all God's children, the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, truth, and judgment. So church is the place to come and remember how much you need Jesus and be spurred on to obey Jesus through all the decisions you have each and every day. And if you haven't decided that you need your guilt taken away for living against Jesus, well, you can absolutely do that today. So we have been made to obey Jesus. We are called by Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. And as I said at the start, remember this, remember Jesus. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is worthy of your complete devotion. And obeying Jesus is a great motivator for going out to share the gospel, for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with one another and anyone who would hear us. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. Thank you that we have such a good King who suffered and died for us so that we could have life and eternal life. Father, please keep working in us to desire to change, to be more like your Son Jesus. That we would not hide our sin, but we would be honest to you, Father, when we sin, when we are going through hard times, and that we'd come to you and know that you can strengthen us and you want to strengthen us to keep going for you. Please use each of us to encourage each other as we keep going for Jesus through the times and the difficulties we face. May we remind one another that obeying Jesus is so good to do. He knows the best life. So give us courage to keep standing for Jesus when many are not. And help us to want to speak for Jesus and what he's done to people so that they might know what life is meant to be. Life with Jesus. Life with Jesus forever. So please, Father, work in us to go make disciples of all nations. And may this be a church that we just see more and more people wanting to know Jesus because we are just focused, determined on this goal that you've given us, this command you've given us to make disciples of all nations. Please do bring about change and more people coming to know you through this, what you've commanded us today. In Jesus' name, amen.